And now we're going to take some questions from our audience.
Thanks. So it looks like we do have a lot of questions. The first is babysitting allowed at PTA functions.
All right. This is Jamie. I'm going to weigh in on some questions as I've been had the honor to be intimately involved with a lot of the units since the broker change. Babysitting is allowed at PTA functions. A little bit of a change is that our policy covers the PTA. So if the PTA is sued because of something that a babysitter does, the PTA is covered. There's been a little confusion about paid babysitting versus not paid babysitting. Unpaid babysitters, volunteers, 100% covered if they were sued personally. If the babysitter is paid and they were sued personally, the policy would not cover them. The policy will always step in and cover the PTA. But again, that's the difference between paid and unpaid, is just whether or not we're extending the coverage to the babysitter or not, should they be personally sued.
All right, we have a question from Kimberly. Can you provide clarity on grad night events? Because the insurance guide and the toolkit are both unclear.
I'm not sure exactly what aspect of grad night events. I'm assuming maybe it's because it's partially run by the school and partially by the PTA. But generally speaking, if a PTA is running a grad night event, we would treat that as any other event. We say, you know, go look at the risk guide, confirm the activities that you're doing are allowed activities. And again, grad night wouldn't be any different. I would encourage, if there's, you know, again, if it's being run partially by the school and partially by the PTA, for Kimberly, contact us just to make sure, and we're happy to talk through to make sure there's no, you know, additional precaution you need to take.
Okay. Are volunteers automatically covered whether they sign in to an event or not?
Yes.
See, we've got a lot of questions, so if we don't get to your questions, we are recording them and we'll get back to you in a few days. So we have another question from Kimberly. She says, many of our PTAs plan trips to camps. Is this covered? They are not school-sponsored trips. They can't gift money to the school. It's completely PTA-run.
Generally speaking, yes. There are some times where there's an athletic camp. One of the bigger exclusions under the policy is for a sports team. So if the basketball team is going, you know, to a camp where it's actually the basketball team, we exclude organized sports teams. But if, you know, you have some kids that you're just taking to a basketball camp or, you know, a different type of camp, generally that is included. If there's, you know, any special circumstances around what kind of camp it is, again, feel free to call us, but generally speaking, camps are not a problem.
Okay, we have a question from Lisa. In case of the umbrella extension being activated, who pays the $10,000 deductible?
The PTA would be responsible for that deductible. And I just want to make sure that it was clear that that would be in the case where a claim goes over $1 million. Because there's an underlying policy that's $1 million, and then the umbrella is the excess, obviously. So it doesn't, the umbrella isn't touched until you get the first million.
Okay. We have a question regarding the DNO, which is, what does DNO stand for? Can you clarify that?
Directors and officers liability.
Okay. Regarding that, would legal assistance be included?
Yes. Depending on the situation, we might refer you to someone slightly different, but we would just suggest that you contact us for any legal advice and we can direct you to the right person.
And what constitutes gross negligence?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. Gross negligence is really kind of defined as the employer knowing that there's a hazard and knowing that an employee could get hurt and totally ignoring it and allowing an employee to get hurt.
Okay, we have a question from Laura. Does coverage include cyber liability insurance so that we can make electronic payments?
I'm sorry, would you repeat the question?
Sure. Does coverage include cyber liability insurance so that we can make electronic payments?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but if the question is, if we make electronic payments and the money gets misdirected, is that covered under our bond policy? And the answer would be yes.
But just to clarify, this does not include cyber coverage. We just want to make sure that the question that's being asked might not be specific to cyber coverage. It might be something that is covered under this policy, as Elgin explained.
Okay, we have a question from Kat. Do we need workers' compensation paperwork for the tax preparer that we paid?
So that, I know California State right now is doing all the administration around the workers' compensation payrolls and collections, so I'm actually not 100% certain about that and would have to defer to California to answer that question.
This is Kathy. So they're paying an accountant, just to be clear, they're paying someone to prepare their taxes and they want to know if they need workers' compensation?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Okay. In terms of that, they're providing them a service, but they're not doing, they're not going on to a PTA event to do it. So there's really, and they're usually a sole proprietor. So no, they wouldn't. California doesn't require that. The state of California wouldn't even require that, as far as my understanding is.
All right. Do you offer a program that has the waivers online and creates a spreadsheet?
We do not. Right now, the waivers are just in the risk guide. We may look at possibly making those fillable in the future, but we don't currently now. It hadn't, to my understanding, it had not been that way in the past either. But we'll definitely put that on the list of things that are good asks.
Okay, we have a question from Leslie. Are there any specific actions that we need to take for yellow light activities like bounce houses? Do we need waivers or anything else?
So on the best practices guide, we touch on waivers just briefly and really say that you want to use waivers anytime there's a physical activity happening. So bounce houses would definitely be included. Anytime, you know, there's we've seen some events that were like litter pickups and things like that. So if you're taking kids off campus and doing something like that, you definitely want to get waivers for that. So we typically say, you know, use your best judgment always with the physical activities and the taking kids off campus. But if you see any added risk, we would always suggest waivers. I know that the waivers provided are for a policy or sorry, a school year. So I know that there are lots of units who are just making this part of their packet, their practice to get everybody to sign this at the beginning of the year. But in answer to bounce houses, 100% waivers are highly suggested.
Not
we have a question.
I was going to say not required, but just highly suggested.
All right. We have a question from Julia. If we have food trucks that sell food at our events, are they covered by our insurance?
No, vendors are not covered. That's why we have the vendor requirements that you'll find in the guide. And then also at any time, if you want to email us, we can provide you like a little packet that has the certificate that they need to turn over with their insurance information and California listed as an additional insured, a hold harmless, and an endorsement. You want to get that from every vendor that you work with. These food trucks should have their own insurance. And if, you know, they have some kind of faulty equipment or there's a fire or something happens, you don't want to be liable for that. You want them to stand on their own and have their own insurance.
But as Jamie said, if there's an accident, the PTA's general liability doesn't cover the vendor. But if the PTA gets sued because of something the vendor does, then the PTA is going to be covered by their general liability policy.
Which is just like what we explained with babysitting, paid babysitting, I should say.
So I think this question will answer a few of our participants' specific questions. Does the insurance policy cover after-school programs?
That's a good question, and that is something I think there's been a little confusion about in the guide. Yes, this covers after-school programs. Sometimes we find that the after-school programs are organized and managed completely by the PTA, and sometimes they're partially organized by the school and partially organized by the PTA. So if the PTA is sued in connection with an after-school program, the policy 100% steps in and protects the PTA. If there's kids that, you know, they break their leg or something like that, we would expect that the school's insurance, because if it's determined that it's really the school's after-school program that the PTA is just assisting with or, you know, donating money to, then it would be expected that the school's insurance would step in for things like medical payments. But again, if the PTA is sued in connection with that after-school program, the policy will step in to defend.
Okay, we have a question from Christine. With our previous broker, we would have to send in vendor insurance information for every event. Do we still need to do that, or do we only need to send in information for new vendors?
So we have an approved vendor list, and we're asking that the vendors send us those requirements directly. And at any time, they can contact us for a list of approved vendors. But if you work with a vendor, you know, say a jump house vendor or something like that, you can collect the vendor requirements from them, keep them on file, and you don't ever need to send us anything. The only reason that we need it is if there's a claim, we want you to produce those documents. Or if that vendor wants to be listed on our approved vendor list, which I know a lot of them really do, makes it easier for all the PTA units as well, then you can direct them to us and we will make sure we have all the correct information. I know some PTAs have been a little hesitant about whether they're getting the right information and have suggested that the vendors come to us anyway to jump through all the hoops. And again, there's really very few, but then we can take charge of adding them to the approved vendor list. But you don't actually have any duty to send it to us.
Okay, we have a question. Do we need the school district to sign any paperwork if we use their facilities after school hours?
We don't have a requirement around that paperwork. Typically, I think the school is going to be asking the PTA to sign some paperwork, and sometimes we're getting copies of that just because the PTA would like us to review it, but we don't require that the PTA unit get anything signed by the school.
Okay. We have a question from Diane. The old policy covered independent contractors who provided services on site or at a PTA function. Does this policy cover independent contractors and employees?
Can we get a little bit of a definition of what they're considering an independent contractor?
They didn't say.
I want to be clear that there's been questions that there's been work comp questions and general liability questions. So I think generally speaking, the independent contractors, if they don't have their own work comp insurance, they are covered under the workers' compensation, but as Elgin said, we might need a tiny bit more detail just to confirm whether or not they're covered under the general liability, depending on the situation.
Okay. So this is about the vendor packet. Is this something that PTAs request from AIM and then keep for their records, or do they send the completed forms to you guys directly?
Did you say the vendor packets?
Yeah,
and I think that's similar to the question that was asked a few questions ago. No, we send those to the vendors, have them complete everything, and then the PTA unit should keep it on file should there ever be a claim. But we do not need the unit to send it to us.
Gotcha. Where do PTAs go for help on claims that were filed before PTA changed insurance?
Those can come directly to us. We had one of our main email addresses listed on our PowerPoint, but we have a special one that we set up for California, and it's capta@aim-companies.com. So you can call us, email us with any questions about prior claims. Once we took over as the broker, we took over handling of all of those past claims, even though they were not filed with us.
Okay, we have a question from Heather, which I think is similar to the cyber liability question earlier. She asked that many units use PayPal or other kind of electronic payment forms. Does this new policy cover the use of those electronic payment sites?
The answer is yes.
Okay. Let's see. I'm sorry, we do have a lot of questions, so if we're not getting to your questions, we will do our best to answer them after the webinar or in our frequently asked questions. Let's see. Our school district facilities use agreement requires the PTA to sign saying that we hold them harmless. I know we are not allowed to sign those, so how do we deal with that? That's from Meredith.
This is a question that comes up a lot, and there's a little bit of gray area. So a lot of the school districts are not going to back down on their requirement for you to sign a hold harmless. In that case, we still want this agreement. We would like to review the agreement so we can make sure, just approve the language. We usually start with asking them to strike the language, and then if they refuse, then we talk about the risks. In a situation where, let's say, like a bounce house vendor wants you to hold them harmless, we would absolutely, under no circumstances, say that you should sign a hold harmless. They need to, take responsibility for their own liability. However, if it's you're using the school premises and you're not paying them for that service, you're just using the space, we would make exceptions for those types of hold harmless. We just want to make sure that it's written favorably. So again, one of the reasons why we ask to see contracts that you're being asked to sign. And that's not a requirement. We're just here to help and make sure that PTA units don't take on liability that they shouldn't.
Okay, we have a question from Kim. Are defense costs a separate limit?
Oh, defense costs, I'm sorry. They are, depending on the policy, I believe the defense is inside the limit on the D&O and outside the limit on the GL. Great question.
Okay, we have a question from Lisa. She says it's on page 6 of the guide under sponsored events. If PTA is hosting a fun run, which is typically organized by a company with very few PTA volunteers, does that mean that this event would or would not be covered?
As long as the PTA is managing it, it doesn't matter that they're paying a fun run company to do some of the organization, because we look at it as the PTA selected that vendor who's doing the fun run. They're telling that vendor, you know, where they want to have it, when they want to have it, how they want it to be, who's going to be invited. So even though a fun run vendor may be doing some of the managing, we still see that as a PTA event. And it would be covered.
Okay, we have a question from Amy. Is there any coverage provided for fundraising products once they are received from a vendor, but before they are actually delivered to the person who bought it? So she says, particularly when you have a material ongoing inventory like a high school student store.
We do offer a policy that covers that. It's not one of the policies that's included in the package that you have. we can talk to you, you can call us and we talk to you about that individually. At some point this year, there's three or four different coverages that we offer in other states that we're not offering in California at the moment, but we will be getting that information out sometime this year. If you're interested in it prior to that, you can just call us and we'll talk to you about it.
All right, so we have a couple additional questions about babysitting. Is this something that can be negotiated on a case-by-case basis, or is the policy kind of already set?
We're actually, I would like to come back to this question and put it, you know, put some more details around an FAQ that gets posted, because we reached out to, you know, our carrier just to confirm the way that the policy language would treat California employees, volunteers, paid babysitters. So the way that it would typically respond is not really negotiable. But again, we want to confirm that it would respond that way in California. And then as soon as we have some updates, just confirming, we can get some more information out there and consider possible, you know, possible options for babysitting.
Gotcha. Okay. We have a question from Aurora. How long should we retain our accident report?
I would suggest at least 1 year.
Okay. We have another question from Diane. She says she needs a little clarity on the general liability. Are you saying that if any PTA unit is sued and they lose, they will be liable for the $10,000 payment?
No. The $10,000 is if a claim goes over $1 million. So if someone is injured and there's a major suit and they're suing for $2 million. So your underlying policy covers $1 million. And so once that $1 million policy was exhausted, then it triggers the umbrella and the $10,000 deductible would be due again once it goes over $1 million. So it's not really dependent on who wins or loses the suit. It's more about the size of the suit and when it, which policies it triggers.
All right. We have another question. What about waivers for volunteers or participants? Do they need to be filled out every time, or are all volunteers and participants covered?
This is another question that we get pretty frequently. The waivers that are in the loss guide are school year waivers. So it's suggested that you have them signed by whoever is going to participate or volunteer, and there's a couple different types of waivers, and you have them signed at the beginning of the school year. The question has come up, if we have a bounce house, do we need to get them signed all over again? Or if we have another event, do we need to get them signed again? And what we always say is that a waiver doesn't prevent someone from suing you. It's not something that we actually, it's not a requirement of coverage. So whether you get one or not, the coverage is not dependent. If you're doing something that is particularly high exposure and it's been a long time since you've had people fill out waivers, we would suggest that it's a good idea to maybe get everybody who's going to participate on a bounce house to sign them again. And this is just, you just want to do, you know, what you think is going to protect you the best. If it's the beginning of the school year and you just had everybody sign in the waivers and you're having this event that poses a little bit more risk, you know, a few weeks later, I would say it's probably, you know, doesn't do a whole lot of good, doesn't provide a huge deterrent over the waiver that you already had signed. So I know that's can be a little unclear, but at least do them once a year. And then if you feel that you're having a particularly high risk activity, you may want to have them signed again for that particular activity.
Okay, we have a question from Amy. If someone volunteers at an event or helps in an area where money is exchanged, but they are not a PTA member, would they still be covered under the bond insurance?
Yes, it's anybody who has access to your money.
Okay. Let's see, we have a question about fundraising and homemade food. If it is labeled with allergy and ingredients, can that still be sold?
I know that there's some, I believe it's a, there's county requirements on certain counties say that you can't do home-baked foods. And I know there's some districts that say that you can't do home-baked foods. So I hesitate to step in any questions here with home-baked goods because I think it's highly dependent on your county and your district. And we suggest that you reach out to them. There's no rules in the policy about ingredient labels.
Okay, we have a question from Kristen. On the student waiver, does the parent really need a letter along with the waiver?
Do we know, I'm sorry, I know they can't answer me, but I'm not, is there a letter in with the waiver? I'm not familiar with the letter.
Yeah, I'm not clear on that either.
Sorry.
We will connect with you offline. You can always email AIM directly, and we will have the webinar and frequently asked questions updated in about a week on our website. Okay, let's see. Do you need a waiver for an event like a jogathon that happens during school hours?
Because a jogathon is a physical activity, we suggest that you do it. Again, I want to reiterate that your coverage is not made by whether you use a waiver. If you don't have a waiver, the coverage is going to step in if it, you know, regardless. But it's just a good practice, and we would say for any physical activity, you should do it.
Okay. So we had a question about grad night a couple minutes ago, and they clarified on what exactly they mean. So they say their grad night is completely run by PTA, and the insurance guide says that transportation is excluded from coverage. So it's the PTA contracting bus companies to the amusement parks and providing chaperones.
So there is transportation coverage, and actually we have I'd hired non-owned auto coverage under this, but without getting too technical, there is coverage for them contracting with a charter company to provide transportation.
Okay.
There is a section in the general liability, and we consider the general liability a different section. The auto coverage is separate, even though it's a form under the general liability policy. The policy considers different sections, and so the guide says no transportation is covered, and that's under one portion, because in California is a little bit unique because we don't offer hired and non-owned auto to most of our states, so we highlight that in the exclusions, but because California has a hired and non-owned auto coverage, that is a component of a different coverage beneath the general liability. So I understand it can be confusing. Sorry about that.
Okay, we have a question from Julia, and I'm not sure if this is a better question for AIM or for our PTA leaders. She asked, if we pay a dance instructor for instruction to students, do we need to have a workers' compensation form for them? Or workers' compensation insurance, I'm sorry.
I can try to answer that unless you, California, you would like to answer it, but I think the answer is yes.
This is Kathy Corzine. Yes, I think in that case you probably would be, and it's more because they're having the contact with the students as opposed to the CPA or the accountant who has the contact with a piece of paper. You know, that sounds silly, but that's, I would think with the dance instructor, yes.
All right, we have a question from Danny. At silent auctions, we have had wineries provide packages that people can take home after the event if they are the winner. Is this allowed?
Yes.
Okay. We have a question from Wendy. What's the difference between the two hold harmless forms?
I was thinking there was only one hold harmless form and then there's several different waivers. I would ask that maybe you contact us directly because I'm not sure if you're referring to language within one of the waivers, but I think that there's just one main hold harmless form that's in the risk guide.
Okay, so that's all the time we have for questions. We did get probably 100, 200 questions, and they were all a little bit specific if we didn't answer them on the webinar. So just to be clear, you can always contact AIM directly, and we'll also be posting some frequently asked questions. So unless anybody has anything else to add, I think that's the end of our webinar.
Again, we want to thank everybody for joining.
Okay, thanks everybody.